With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, this is the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast, where we take a light-hearted look at all things Football League.
You scumbaggy maggot, Matt Smith, Troy Parrott.
I'm James, lifelong COV fan, and I'm joined each week by self-proclaimed Statman Luke and resident Millwall fan Andy.
Gary Monk sacked after a 0-0 draw with Millwall as well. Although most clubs in the Football League would die for a result like that.
We'll be covering important news, a run through of the games, and our all-important goal of the week.
Yes. 3-0 to the own goal.
So find us with a new episode each Monday on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to Acton Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a post-FA Cup magic show. I have a special guest for your delectation, a new voice to Acton Millwall. Big welcome to Dan Wynn. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hello, Nick. Thank you for having me, mate.
Good to have you, mate. Dan is a blogger, dear listener. If you want to check out Dan's work, go on Twitter and go to @RealFans92, @RealFans92. I will repeat that again later in the show to check out Dan's blog. I read it in the week. You were quite scathing, Dan, about Gary Rowett and some of his recent team choices. You're one of the reluctant clock tickers on Gary Rowett. Would that be a fair comment to you, mate?
It's a very fair comment, to be honest, but it is reluctantly, it has to be said, because it's not because I don't like Gary Rowett or I don't want him to do well, because obviously as Millwall fans, we want every manager we have to do well. But it's frustrating when you think there's more to come than we're seeing now, because we've seen it before. He's got the same set of players as he had last season, with a few of his own additions, and we don't look any better, do we? Let's be honest, not at the minute anyway. You can take a few things into account, the injuries, the COVID situation, lack of fans, but it's the same for everyone. And it's just really disappointing seeing how quickly downhill things have gone for us this season, because let's have it right, only, what is it, 13 games ago now, we was in a really good run.
You and me are speaking in the aftermath of a routine in the end win at Boreham Wood. It reminded me a little bit, Dan, of that game at the start of the season, which, when we all had high hopes at the start of the season, we went to Crawley and I think it finished 3-1 down there. And this had a similar kind of non-leaguey feeling as the, you know, trip to Crawley does, but we don't have the high hopes now. That's I think it's interesting how the season has gone, because I think, I don't know if you would join me in this, I started with reasonable expectations for the season, and yet they've been bit by bit eroded. I mean, I know there's many factors that go into it, but it's the thing that I've been picking up on until today. So today was a refreshing performance. We'll come to that in a moment, but is that erosion of team spirit, because we seem like a collection of individuals rather than a team that fights for each other.
Well, that's it. I mean, as you say, like at the beginning of the season, things were looking good. I mean, all the signs were there that we was going to have a really positive season. We was making good signings to positions that we thought we needed.
Yep.
We didn't lose anyone, Cooper or Jed being the main ones. We got Bart tied down to a new deal. Everything was looking good. But as you say, something's not right at the minute. And maybe we're looking, people like me are looking too much into it. Maybe it is just a lack of form, like every football team suffers at some point in time. But it doesn't feel like that for me looking at it. I've seen Millwall teams before that have just been devoid of confidence or just not getting the rubber to green. And this isn't, until today, it hasn't seemed like that recently. It seemed like we are literally running out of ideas, and there's just been nothing about the side lately. We haven't been able to defend or attack.
No, I mean, we'll come to today's game in a moment. I looked at your blog. It was written post-Coventry, listeners. So, yeah. You know, it is a depressive read, Dan. I will be honest.
I'd almost half started writing it in my head.
Were you hungover or anything like that?
Well, no, but I was just really angry at the time. I was ranting and raving in one of the group chats. I mean, on WhatsApp with my friends, and I was probably boring them senseless with all my miserable comments. But I'm a very opinionated person, and I always have been. And I like to share my views. And anyone who follows Millwall Facebook pages, I'm sure I've had a few run-ins with many a listener of yours, and. But it's because I care. I really want us. I love my football club. And I'm not one to slag us off easily. I'm not one to jump the gun too easily. I don't think I'm very. My friends would disagree. Some of them. I'm not a reactive person in general. I don't think. But when something's not going right, I will call it out. And I just don't think things have been going right lately. That's all.
I mean, to summarise, I will stick a link, listeners, into Dan's blog in the show notes for this edition. I've tried to distill the main points of your blog after Coventry into just a few bullet points. So forgive me if I've oversimplified any of this, Dan. But no. I mean, in general terms, you've advocated getting away from this tippy-tappy, possession-based, knock it around, Barcelona meets Manchester City style, that get it forward earlier with more into the channels, more with more pace and direction. Would that be fair comment?
That's fair, but I'm not against that style of play if you've got the players to do it. But we all know we haven't got the players to do it. I mean, Gary Rowett, to be fair to him, has worked wonders with some of our players that he has got since he took over, like Jake Cooper making marauding runs up the left wing, and Sean Hutchinson doing the same on the other side sometimes when we play that three at the back. And it, like Ryan Leonard has been a different player under Rowett, but it just, I think because we had some really good results last season when Rowett changed the style of play, I think there's a case of being caught out a little bit now. Teams have sussed us, and a case of we are just trying to do too much. Like we can't play out from the back, can we? Let's have it right. Like you can do it once or twice a game, but when you make that your overall game plan and you're trying to do that every single time you kick off and kick out from the back, it's just not viable for teams like us. We haven't got the ability. We haven't got the ball playing defenders to be able to do that.
We've also lost the element of surprise, Dan, because when we did that last season, I think quite a few teams were slightly in a state of shock that there was a Millwall side prepared to, you know, play that style. And I think there was, that surprise has gone, Gary, if you're listening to the show. I mean, you've also advocated abandon the tippy-tappy, as I've put it here, abandon Ryan Woods. You don't like Ryan Woods, would that be? Although you do qualify that in your piece, Dan, by saying that he'd do a lot better at other clubs that are more, you know, more conducive to that style of play rather than at Millwall.
Well, Ryan Woods, when he first came to Millwall, I couldn't speak highly enough of him. I like to think I know my football, and Ryan Woods is someone I've known about since he was at Shrewsbury. I remember I went to watch when we got relegated to League One a few years back, and we played him away first game of the season. I was at the game. And I remember thinking, like, who's this little ginger kid in the middle? Like, how have Shrewsbury got a centre midfielder like that? And we haven't.
The ginger and then perler. All of a sudden,
genuinely, he ran the show that day. We won the game 2-1, I think it was. We went 1-0 down and Gregory Morrison scored. But that day, I just remember looking at him thinking, he is unbelievable. And when we signed him, I was bigging him up
his
so
biggest
much.
Trumpet
he's
the blower. Best. Genuinely.
And I think I've even gone as far as to say he's the best ball player we've had since Dennis Wise.
Well, you cursed him. As soon as you said that, you've cursed the boy.
Genuinely, what I was thinking, he might be passing wise, but in terms of his overall contribution, I think he needs two centre midfielders with him. Yeah. To make him effective. And if we're not going to do that and you're just going to stick him in a two, he's too deep. And unless you find a proper centre midfielder who can do that box-to-box role next to him.
I mean, we didn't have Ryan Leonard last week. We did have him today. We'll come on to the starting 11, perhaps. It might give us a good chance to talk about today's game, because I thought it was an improved performance today, Dan. I don't know what you made of that starting 11. Of fielding in goal, I didn't have any particular problem with, in that he needs a run out. And this was probably as close to a, not quite a pre-season, but it was akin to a training game in many respects. I wasn't too fussed about the result as long as we got past them. I didn't particularly want to lose this one, because I thought that would be very, very bad for morale. But, definitely. I mean, the starting of Danny McNamara and Tyler Bury, both good signs on the left side. Leonard and Woods as a midfield didn't look out of place today. I thought Ryan Leonard played well. And Scott Malone, some are naming him man of the match. I thought that might be going a little bit too far. I thought he did what I would expect Scott Malone to do. But I was very excited pre-match about that Parrott, Zohor and Tyler front line. I thought Bury did okay. And I thought Zohor showed what we've been missing, which is a nicely put away goal. What did you make of the starting 11? Did you anticipate? Did you like the look of that at the start of the day?
Yeah, I mean, Bart, we all know he's our number one, but I thought it was right to bring Fielding in, to be fair. I thought our starting lineup was as expected. I was pleased to see Frank Fielding come into the side. He was a bit unfortunate, obviously, kicking a ball on his first appearance and getting injured, and we've not seen him since.
No.
So, I mean, Bart deserves a rest after bailing us out every week, so that was good. Danny McNamara, I was really excited to see him, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant, to be honest. He was like a breath
I'd
of fresh
agree
air
with that.
On
yeah.
the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was nice to see a Millwall player, a Millwall fullback, rather. No disrespect to Marlon Romeo, because I'm a big fan of him. I know some people aren't, but that's another story. But I really like Marlon. But Danny, he looked confident on the ball. He was composed. His first touch was excellent. And more importantly, the crossing. His crossing, not one of them, to my knowledge, I don't think any of them went behind the goal for a goal kick like we often see. They was all decent enough balls into dangerous areas. Tyler Bury was exciting. He looked to do the right things. He wasn't scared to try and run at his opponent. I thought Ryan Leonard was—he was my man of the match personally.
Leonard, you liked him.
He was everywhere today.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant today. I thought he should never have lost his place last week. Whether that was because of fatigue due to the COVID situation, I thought he was brilliant. Zohor and Parrott—they it's a combination we've been waiting to see for a long time now, and I think they linked up really well, to be honest.
Well, I do. I mean, it's a high-quality pairing there, really, Dan. I know that neither are our players, so we've got to put the caveat in that, you know, the players that show the most quality on the ball, perhaps, well, some of them aren't ours, but also we were up against non-league opposition.
Of course, yeah.
I didn't like Boreham Wood, did you? I don't know.
No.
I didn't take Timo. There's an interesting post, though, just before you and I started speaking about how we all, and I class myself in this, we all slightly romanticise non-league football. Horrible little, the management bench, some of the players. I mean, even within the first seconds of the game, I think they had a free kick just outside the Mill penalty area. And there was that comb over, bald bloke that went straight up to Fielding, almost in his face, you know. I get they've
Reed. The experienced big
experience. Look, he's experienced at propping up the bar in the local pub. From what I could, the size of him,
he genuinely looked like he'd just come off the building site.
But I mean, that's not a problem, because they, you know, often these are guys that are working for a living. But it's just the attitude, and they're a dislikable group. And
they were there to frustrate us today. They wanted to be in our faces and almost bully us, which is what I've...
I mean, my standout from the game is we didn't allow ourselves to be bullied. I thought that was actually... We did look the better side, and we didn't get pushed around by them. And I thought that's actually quite a good mark in the Mill book there.
No, 100%. It would have been easy to turn up today and sort of be a bit down on our confidence because of how things have been going in the league. They've got their tails up, having won 5 in their league on the spin. So everything today, sort of from the romantic side of it, it was all set up for a bit of a shock, if you like. But
absolutely,
we didn't allow ourselves, as you say, to be bullied. We didn't let that big centre forward bully us. Well, I thought we dealt with every threat they had very well. I mean, they got a lot of pace in that side. I did do a little bit of research into their team before the game.
Yeah.
I was talking to some, obviously, where I'm trying to get my website and my blog a little bit bigger. We've opened an Instagram page now, and I was talking to a guy who runs a non-league page on there, and he said to me yesterday, he was like, "Look, mate, if they really turn up, they've got some dangerous players." And when he mentioned how much pace they had, that instantly made me think, "Oh God, we don't like to play against pace." So I thought we'd done really well. It was a very, very professional performance.
I mean, that was the only moment in the game where I thought we might look a little shaky was, I think it was the start of the second half. We'd come in 1-0 up at half-time from a really nicely finished Ken Zahor shot inside the penalty. I think that was a decent run by Scott Malone, if memory serves, that set that up.
Yeah, a good little 1-2 with Parrott. It was a good little give and go.
Nicely finished. We had a couple of other chances during the course of the... I came in at half-time thinking we probably should have been looking for that second goal. I think we probably could have had it on occasion and we didn't, which has been a curse across the whole season. But it seems a bit churlish when you are leading to moan. But coming out of the blocks at the start of the second half was probably the moment where Boreham Wood looked at their most dangerous, I thought. And it was that pace that you've just mentioned that made them look dangerous.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought that was the only time in the whole game where we didn't dominate, to be honest. I thought the first 10 minutes of that half, they was always going to come out and have a go. And they did just that, obviously. Cooper was a bit, you could say, very fortunate to not get a second yellow, although it was one of them where he couldn't really get out of the way. But
no.
I think it was just before that, he got spun really well by one of their defenders who burst into the penalty area and just sort of overran it. But that the big guy we was talking about, Reed, he missed an absolutely brilliant chance to level the game. And if that goes in, we could have been in trouble, but thankfully it never.
No, I mean, I think he showed his quality in that moment. I mean, there was a lot of huff and puff in the Boreham side. They did look dangerous when they got the ball down the flanks and that was where they had their little moment at the start of the second half. I think once we contained that, I was never really in doubt for the game. The second goal, definitely, when it came, was a simple enough affair, wasn't it? Just a right-sided corner from Malone, I think, and headed in from Hutch. Nicely done.
No, it was a very good goal. It's nice to see one of the defenders score again as well, because obviously the last few years, even under Neil Harris, we're known for our set pieces. We've been topping the stats and the charts for all the set pieces scored over the last few years. And I think, again, as we mentioned earlier, it's another area where people have perhaps found us out a little bit. I could hear, obviously, you can hear the players.
Yes, you could. Yeah.
And for one of our corners or free kicks, you could clearly hear their keeper saying, "Watch Cooper, he's coming in. And if non-league teams are doing that, you know every team we play in the league's doing it. And it was just nice to see us getting back to our sort of old Millwall best of what we're good at, which is not being bullied, taking the game to the opponents and scoring with a set piece.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Acton Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gary Rowett clearly knew what to expect, what was going to be coming our way today, and prepared the team for it. And we did a good job on that. My note to myself is it was quite refreshing not to be awful. I think that was quite a step forward, was not to be terrible today.
100%. Honestly, it was refreshing to be talking to you now in a good mood, because we've lost this feeling. And oh, I don't care if it's Boreham Wood. I will take it today, because we have had such a poor, miserable run in the last month Maybe we needed something like this. Maybe the players needed something like this to just turn the tide a little bit. Now we go into a winnable game in the league following this. So yeah, I'm happy with today. I don't think there's anything anyone should be disappointed about. I mean, it's never easy going into these games. People can say what they like about the stature of the clubs, and we are on paper, you look at it and think, oh, this should be 4-5-0, but they're very, very rarely that easy. Games never turn out like that in the FA Cup, as we know, and I'm just glad we saw it through, and we're not that side who slipped up and gets embarrassed in front of the world.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. I mean, normally a trip to Boreham Wood or to a non-league club, I mean, Marina playing Spurs tomorrow, and surely I think beat Derby today, but normally there's a full house, you know, it's a day of high excitement, and you banana skins are, you know, over the many, many years, it's always been the third round that's produced these giant killings, and the cup competition generally. And today was a very difficult game. Is that the first step on the long road back, Dan, today?
I hope so. And obviously we all hope so, but we need to use this as a catalyst to push on. I mean, it's all right turning up against Boreham Wood and dominating the game, but we have now got to turn this take this into our league form, and particularly our home league form, because that is an absolute disgrace, to put it mildly. But you can only beat what's in front of you. We did that well today. I mean, as you say, that the lack of crowd definitely helped. I think us more than
probably us
sort of hindered us.
I remember
years ago I went to Altrincham away when we played them in the FA Cup, right. And I think it was Kenny Jackett's first game in charge. And we was 1-0 down really early, and it was a full house there for them, and the atmosphere was buzzing, it was peeing down with rain, it was a proper FA Cup tie, and you didn't have none of that today, which definitely helped us. But yeah, I mean, we need to push on now. We need to take this into the next league game, and we need to just, I'd keep the back five as it was. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't happy with playing that negative, as some would call it, style at home, and
possession
maybe one of them.
But
having said that, and sort of maybe contradicting myself a little bit after what I wrote last week, I wouldn't change much out of today. I'd maybe put Jed back in for Tyler Bury, and maybe that'd probably be it. Honestly,
well, that was going to be one of my questions. I mean, Bart to come back, obviously, in goal.
I'm Bart.
I think that would be consensus. But
that's a given. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bury did okay, but I think obviously Jed starting would be our main weapon. But otherwise, that doesn't look like a bad 11 to me, and it should be an 11 more than capable of holding its own in the Championship, Dan. So it's just rebuilding that team spirit that seems to have gone missing, because I think that's probably the main criticism about the poor performances, Coventry and Middlesbrough just before Christmas. It's less the result, it's more the lack of fight and fire. I mean, I think we can all take a defeat. It's just when you see a team that doesn't seem to care, that's what I want to see. Oh, no, I don't want to see that again. I want to see that go missing, so to speak, because that's unforgivable in a Millwall shirt.
Of course. I mean, that's the bare minimum you expect. I mean, we haven't been getting that. And what's more frustrating is when you see players who, you know, put their heart on their sleeve, players like Jed, who, I don't want to dig him out, I hate digging him out, because he's on his days the only one who can do certain things in our team. Like, not many players in our squad can smash one in from 30 yards,
that.
But even him lately has seemed like he's just completely got the arsehole with it, if you know. He's just completely got the ump. He hasn't looked like he's particularly wanted to be there lately, but who does want to play for a struggling team? No one.
Put the telly on and watch it? It's been difficult, hasn't it?
But from our point of view, they're the only ones who can change it. So yeah. they do need to go out there and just believe in themselves a bit more. We're not a bad team. Like, we've got good players. We've seen what we can do. They all know what they can do. If it is a lack of team spirit, then I've not really got any bright ideas on how you can fix it other than win football matches. But they're a close-knit bunch, or they should be, because they've been together long enough now. It's not like we've got loads of new players and things like that. The majority of that squad has been there for a long time now. So they should all be mates on and off the pitch. The spirit shouldn't be easily broken if it has been. But if it has been, listen, let's use today as that kick up the backside and that confidence booster we need. There's no reason it can't be. Just because we've beat a non-league team, it means nothing. We've won a game of football at the end of the day. We've played well. We've done what we've had to do. Everyone did their jobs. So individually, everyone should be going into the next game they play with confidence. So, yeah, to answer your question, Nick, I think, yes, we should take this into the next game.
Well said. Well said, Dan Wynn. You're listening, listeners, to Dan Wynn, who is at RealFans92, his blog. Where are you hoping to take the blog? You're covering other clubs other than Millwall, Dan, I saw. I mean, is that you're going to be looking to keep your net, cast your net wide on that front, mate?
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. Initially, I was just going to do the Football League. I was just going to cover major news and team. Like, I was going to do match reports and things like that. Yeah. Like, if there's any, like when Joey Barton got sacked by Fleetwood the other week, I did a little piece on that. So it was meant to be just things like that to start with. But more of my friends have started getting involved now. I've got a lot of friends who support Premier League clubs who decided that they'd like to get involved. So, I've had one of my friends who supports Liverpool. He did a write-up the other day on should Liverpool go out and buy a centre-back?
Right,
So it's that sort of website and blog I'm looking to build. People are more than welcome to send me in their thoughts, and I'll happily publish them up as long as they're not to sort of OTT. Like, I won't have anyone being personally abused, and you know what I mean? I don't want things like that. We want to keep it all fairly above board.
Keep it legal.
Don't get me wrong. If you want to say someone's a useless so-and-so, you can by all means say that. If you're not happy with your team's manager and you think he should go because he's this and that, then fair enough. But just no personal comments. I don't want to see none of that. But yeah, well, I don't really know where I'm looking to take it though, Nick. It was purely built out of boredom in lockdown, and because work dried up. I'm a locksmith by trade, and everyone's in their houses at the minute, so I'm not needed.
not many burglaries anymore.
No, I mean, there's nothing for me to be doing other than the odd job that I get called to, but it's not been happening. So I like writing about football. So I just thought, why not? Let's just do it. And I'm looking to start a little podcast with one of my friends. And
excellent.
So we might be chewing your ear off soon for a few little pointers on that.
I used to do the fanzine back when, you know, before this kind of modern era of podcasting and video blogging and stuff like that. But I always encouraged anyone out there to give it a go. The more choice fans have, the better. I don't have a problem. Far from it. You know, get your viewpoint out there. That's what the world should be about, in my opinion. So no, I take my hat off to you, Dan. So,
thank you.
You know, any help we can give on this show, you let us know.
I will hold you to that, Nick.
It's going to become a nuisance, isn't it?
Be prepared for the inboxes to start flowing after this. How do you do this and how do you do that? What microphones still are you using? Oh, God. But, yeah.
There we are. At RealFans92. Big thank you to Dan Wynn for coming on the show in the aftermath of that workmanlike win at Boreham Wood, but very refreshing nevertheless. So thank you, Dan. We're going to be closing out now with the views and opinions of Mr. Harry Warren, Mr. Michael Avery, and Mr. Mike Hayden. So until the next show, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from Dan.
From me. Goodbye, listeners.
If you're enjoying Afton Mill podcast, then why not help us grow the show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? We'd love it. Love it. If you visit the Apple link in the show notes and leave us a rating and a review. Achtung Mill is the number one podcast broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey. No show sponsors, no Patreon, and no TikTok accounts. Thank you, dear listeners, and as always, arrivederci, Millwall.
Nick, I would love to help you out. Unfortunately, I did not see the game. I was not paying BT Sport, and I wasn't going to bet on Bet365 to allow me to view the game. But yes, we are through, and I saw Woods copying more shit online, so I'm assuming he was again anonymous. But up the Lions, and yeah, hope everyone's all right, and speak to you soon.
So there we have it, dear listeners. We're through to the next round of the Cup. Millwall 2-0 victors over Boreham Wood. I did see that as a slight banana skin. I know that goes against what Mr. Hayden has said or will say, depending on when we put the recordings in. But I think that was a very good professional performance. And also as well, what we need to remember with these games, why they are banana skins, is there's an awful lot of pressure on you if you lose these games, but you get no real credit if you win them. I.e., we've won, it's been seen as a professional 2-0. Derby have just lost and Twitter's going crazy about it. So it is very swings and roundabouts. Plenty of positives to take. I thought Malone had a good game on that left-hand side. McNamara had a good game as well. The substitutes linked up well when they came on. Defensively, we were very strong. But again, we need to look at the opposition in front of us. The negatives to look at. Jake Cooper, you're a very lucky boy. Not going to lie there. I think if you actually was in a league game, you would probably have seen red for that second because you clearly weren't going for the ball. But we'll ignore that. And also as well, about the chances taken. Yes, we're through. Yes, it was professional. But 28 chances, I think it was, against the conference side. And we only scored two. So that's not good at all. But we're through. Job done. Also as well, I'm not sure how many of the BT executives listen to this, but it was actually quite refreshing listen to commentary from a outlet, not including our follow, so we know where this is being aimed at, that isn't looking for an ulterior motive in their commentary. So well done, BT Sport.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the fourth round. As I suspected we would be, I didn't really see this as a banana skin at all. We're not that bad that I think we would lose to a conference side. I think I'll give Gary Rowett some credit there. Strong professional performance. I don't think we ever looked really like losing the game. I suppose the only disappointing thing, which is a bit of a broken record, that it wasn't, you know, 4 or 5 nil with the amount of chances that we had. But some really standout performances today. Scott Malone specifically really, really caused them some problems down that left. He obviously got the assist and also probably should have scored himself as he had a couple of chances. Parrott looked lively. Good to see Zahor get another goal as well. Hopefully we can extend his loan till the end of the season and that'll give him, you know, some confidence. Danny McNamara again, yeah, very professional job on the right. He looks, you know, a really tidy player. So hopefully we can develop him further. Good to see him back at the club. Clearly, it was a great move for him to go to St Johnstone, and he's learnt a lot. And you know, Rowett's clearly seen that. So hopefully we'll see him play a bit in the league as well and challenge Romeo a little bit more. So yeah, good performance. 2-0 in the fourth round. Job done.
If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.